Glory to God. I was talking about some operations I'm learning and have been exercised in. It's kind of amazing. You know, you're seated together with Christ. You're raised together and hallelujah. And so he says you're raised together. You got access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. That grace is the fullness of Christ. But when it comes to our flesh, sometimes I think, well, okay, you're on your own. You got to discipline yourself and you know, you're on your own with your flesh, but in the spirit, you're with me. We'll do everything by faith, but with your flesh, you know, you're going to have to deal with your, how many of you have ever said, deal with your flesh? You got to deal with it. And so I want to share with you an operation that's in the throne of grace that I've been exercised in thoroughly. It's actually very glorious because it'll cut out a lot of your wilderness period. Because if all you do is subject your growth to wilderness, you're going to be miserable a lot. You don't have to be miserable. The Lord can cut your wilderness out of you. He has a very sharp sword. And he can remove things that would take 20 years to remove in wilderness journey. He can cut it out with a sword if you understand how he does it, where he does it, if you understand the operation. Amen. When he cuts things out, you're immediately elevated in God. You're immediately elevated. Say immediately elevated. And those things that kept chaining you and those things that kept holding on, those things that circle back to, they get cut off. So you don't have to keep dealing with it all the time. We're in a generation, you're not going to deal with your flesh through discipline. God has an answer for the infirmities of your flesh and the untransformed parts of your soul. If you try to do that through works, you're going to be really hard at it. It's hard, hard work to tame the piranha within. It's hard work. See, you got a goldfish in your spirit and a piranha in your flesh. And if you try to tame all that, you got a lamb in your spirit and you got capacities of a wolf in the flesh. Anyway, let's jump in. So let's look at Hebrews 4, verse 11. It says, let us labor. This whole chapter was about laboring the inner and the rest, that he had finished this work. He accomplished it. But there are things sometimes, see, our spirit can receive quite easily, but there's this thing called disharmony. And you'll deal with it in your approach with God. At times you'll deal with walls. You'll deal with separation. It's not that God separated, because God calls it the union. The Lord's calling us the reconciliation. He calls us the reconciliation with the Father. But you'll feel this disharmony, like you're detached, like you got a wall between you and God. Anybody ever feel that? Raise your hand. And what happens is all of that is from this realm. All that's from flesh. It's not God that's separating you. And so what God, he has an answer how to remove, say surgically remove the separation. You have a high priest, say a high priest. He is the high priest of your profession. He can be touched with your feelings of your infirmity. Tempted at all points without sin. He says, now let us come boldly, say boldly, to the throne of grace. There's a lot of things happen at the throne of grace. There's a lot going on there. If you don't dwell there, you're going to miss some of the greatest things God has for us. God can advance you when you learn to exchange with him at the throne of grace. There is an exchange process where you put off the old man, put on the new. There's an exchange process where you receive his grace, and then there's the operation of the two-edged sword. But the good news is this. You don't have to do this. He'll do it for you if you get properly positioned with him. A lot of the things of God, a lot of your promotion is in your position of harmony and union with him. When you get out of position, everything gets out of position. Have you ever noticed that? You get out of position with God, everything else gets out of position. You get in position, everything else gets in position. If you're going to live life in harmony with God. Live life in union with love and grace and rest. It's the best way to live. I'll never live another day without it. Look at verse 12. Now this is an operation of the Lord, an administration of our high priest. He said, I'm not going to no longer speak to you in Proverbs, but I'm going to openly reveal the Father. He moved. He gave all of his words. He left his words and revelations to the church, and he sent his Holy Spirit to be managerial of his word. The Holy Spirit is the one that took over that operation. And he says, I'm going to be your high priest now. I'm moving to the ministry. He saved you to the world, to the blood, but he's to the church, he's high priest. Amen. To the church, he's one that ever liveth making intercession. To the church, he's our mediator. He's there now to reconcile us. If we would do this right, get saved and run to the Father. If we have a generation to get saved, run to the, say, get saved, run to the Father. Before religion has a chance. Before religion has a chance to chain you down, get saved and move into the ministry of the high priest for reconciliation. He wants to remove, the Lord wants to remove the barriers between you and the Father. He wants to remove the separation between you and the Father. He wants to move and remove that feeling you get when you're trying to approach God and you got a brick wall. You got to learn to move through that. Amen. You pierce that. But there's certain things about your old man, your flesh, and the unregenerated part of your soul that'll keep chaining you down until you start encountering this operation. Amen. It says, for the word of God is quick. Say quick. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder. And this is what he does as high priest. All things are naked and open before him. This is what he does as high priest. He divides asunder spirit, soul, joint and marrow is the body. He'll divide these operations. He'll do this on a regular basis with you if you get positioned properly. He wants to remove things that are keeping you from ascension. Now, love you without a sin, but they don't know how to stay where they ascend. They know how to get in, but they don't stay there. Because something keeps pulling them back. The high priest wants to cut out. Say, cut it out. Cut it out. So a lot of times, because we don't partake of this particular aspect of the operation, we get subjected because this part of our old man keeps pulling his back. You're like a yo-yo. Ever feel like a yo-yo? God's pulling you up. World's pulling you back. The Lord wants to sever those ties. And he's got a sword that can do it. If you don't, what happens? You spend too much time in a wilderness experience that you weren't called to be in. And when you get too far in there, it's hard to get out. Because what happens? You adapt a wilderness mindset. You live there all the time. You get clothed in it all the time. And you live in the wilderness. I don't want to be like the children. If I got to pass through, I want to pass through, but I don't want to spend 40 years. I don't want my carcass dying in the wilderness. That's what he was telling them. He says, listen, labor to come into the rest of God. Your high priest has a two-edged sword. He can divide asunder things that are in the way. This is what he does. He's real good at it if you get positioned in him. Now, the way this works is when you come through the door, you come before the throne of grace, you present. Say, present. And Paul said, present your body a living sacrifice to our high priest. Now, the high priest, he would receive that sacrifice and he would offer it on the altar of God. Those priests would take that sacrifice and put them on the brazen altar. Your high priest will receive your sacrifice. And through the cutting of the two-edged sword, he'll begin the separation, soul, spirit, joint, and marrow. That's a good thing. Look at your neighbor and say, that's a good thing. He has the power to crucify your old man. And if you don't let him do it, you're going to have to deal with your old man all your life. You can be in the heavens one day and the next day be in the flesh. But if you let him do this, he'll start cutting away. Say, cutting away. And he's really good at this. The deeper he goes, the more glory comes. Amen. He can carve away whole foundations. A lot of times you don't know what's in the way, but he does. He knows what's in the way. All we know is I'm trying to approach God and I got all this stuff and I can't get to him and, you know, forget about it. I can't do this. All that stuff needs to be cut away. Amen. So he cut it away. Now, Matthew talks about this in Matthew chapter 3. He gives a very powerful, powerful operation here. Look at verse 11. He says, I indeed baptize you with water under repentance. Speaking of John, but he that cometh after me is mightier. Say mightier. He's mighty. Mighty. Whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan. It's not really a fan. It's actually in the Greek, it's a winnowing fork. Say winnowing fork. You know, that's how they separate that chaff from the wheat. He'll take that winnowing fork and he'll just, it's the same thing as a two-edged sword. He'll separate that old. He'll separate the wheat from the chaff. When he starts to separating, what he does, he'll separate the wheat. That's you. That's your new man. He's separating what's him. You want him to do a continuous separation. Because only God is only going to build on what's him. He's not going to build on what's you. And there's things that are in us that we think that there's him. And he's got to separate that out because he goes, no, that won't work. So he separates that out. Said his fan, his winnowing fork's in his hand. Then he burns the chaff with unquenchable fire. You know what that is? That is the burial and the baptism. He burns that. He removes that barrier. Just recently, I was just doing this thing I do every day with the Lord, and it gets very fluid. It gets very smooth. When you learn the pathways of God, it gets very smooth. And it just wasn't smooth that day. How many of you had a day that's not smooth at all? I mean, everything was just a struggle. I'm like, what is going on? My soul was agitated about nothing. So his winnowing fork's in his hand. This is all done at the throne of grace. Now, sometimes you just surrender your body. You're taking off. You're exchanging and moving on to the rest, moving on to the Father. Other times, the Lord will arrest you there. You get arrested by the Lord. You get arrested by the high priest. The high priest will arrest. It's times when he says, time for you to go up higher. And he'll bring you into a room, and he will start the winnowing fork. It's literal. Say literal. It don't happen every day, but boy, when it happens, it is supremely powerful. Because he cuts stuff away. Because he has his flashlight. He brings you this room, and it's a heavenly flashlight, and he shines it right into your soul. So you can see what everybody else has been looking at for the last 100 years. He said, that's what I want you to see. I couldn't see that before. He said everybody else could, but, you know, it doesn't matter. And he shows it to you. The hardest thing ever is to see your own stuff. Easy to see everybody else's stuff. Hardest thing ever is to see your own. Because we have that original thing, we have to be perfect. Like, Adam, if you'll just eat from the tree of knowledge and good and evil, you'll be as God, you'll be perfect. And ever since they ate, nobody's perfect. But everybody believes they have to be perfect. And nobody is perfect, but they want everybody to believe they are perfect. You see how that works? Don't tell me anything that's wrong with me. We're good till you start correcting. Tell me how much you love me. Don't ever tell me what's wrong. It doesn't matter if you tell them anyway. If they can't see it, you shout it to them. You ever heard of veils? Veils. Some people get so veiled they can't hear nothing. I mean, you could shout truth to them. I mean, you could take a jackhammer to drill it into them and they can't hear it. They're veiled. Those veils have to be torn down. Paul said it like this, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. You're not going to deal with veils like that through carnal mechanisms. Well, this thing will think positive today, positive thoughts. We're going to think some positive thoughts. There's nothing wrong with positive thinking. Hey, you might as well embrace the good, but that's not what's going to bring that level of transformation. Amen. He says the weapons of our warfare are what? Mighty. You got to get into the mighty weaponry of God. Mighty through God, through the, bring this mic up. What's going on with this? Pulling down a stronghold. Pulling down a strongholds. Casting down, say casting down. Imaginations. The strongholds, you want to know what a stronghold is? Systems of thoughts empowered by emotions that are exalting themselves against the knowledge of Christ, of everything Christ is in you, to you, and through you. That's what a stronghold is. Say systems of thoughts empowered by emotions, empowered by the devil, empowered by the old man. It's really the old man empowered by devil. That's what a stronghold. Systems of thought empowered by emotions. Say emotions. Systems of thoughts empowered by emotions. That's what a stronghold is. And what it is that system of thought empowered by emotions that is exalting itself against what Christ should be in you. What Christ is supposed to be. See, he purchased all this. But when he purchased you, he purchased the good, the bad, and the ugly. He took your spirit and he made it like him. Then he looked at your flesh and said, we have quite a ways to go. Looked at your soul, we say, we even have further than. But the Lord, I don't know why he does that. I look at him all the time, I'm like, why do you take us on? I'm like, it's a good thing you're God, because you can deal with billions of people's issues all the time. I don't know how you do it. I don't ever want to do that. But he can do it. Amen. But he looks and he wants to take on. Because what he wants us to do ultimately is to overcome the old man and come into the fullness of the new man. It's just not about crucifixion. If all you do is crucify, you're going to be miserable. You crucify so you can resurrect. You crucify so you can elevate. You're buried with him in baptism. Listen, the new man is not getting crucified. It's the old man. And the Lord knows how to separate what's not of him. And he does this at different levels. When he gets ready, listen to me, when he gets ready to graduate you, your graduation is going to come by a work that God's going to do in you. Amen. So what happens is, with the spirit, we elevate the things of God, but with the flesh, we're always struggling. Say struggling. We're frustrating his grace. Because there's grace for your crucifixion as much as there's grace for your elevation and ascension with God. And if you understand how to tap into his grace, the first thing you're going to need to know about his grace and how this works is he's already crucified you. Say already. He said, you are dead. He said that more than once. If Christ be in you, the body's dead. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above where Christ is at the right hand of the Father. Set your affections upon things above, not upon the earth, for you are dead. Say dead. But your life, he said it, your old man is dead. Positionally, you're dead. Say positionally, you're dead. Just like positionally, listen to me. You know, I start talking on this as heaviness comes in. We're going to wipe all that out. I'm sponging it away right now. Sponging away. I'm telling you, this is how you elevate. You can elevate all day long, but you don't let the Lord deal with this other stuff. It'll keep dragging you back down. Say elevate. Everybody wants to sit with Christ and everybody. You are seated together. You know you can be born again? All your life, be born again, sitting up in a whatever church, not this one, and never achieve your heavenly position, your heavenly estate, never achieve the fullness of your sonship. But it's there, and it's positionally already done. Amen? That's the same way it is with the flesh. The old man is dead. Say he's dead. He's dead.
Well, he sure doesn't feel like it.
So wife elbowed her husband and said, I sure wish that you would achieve that. He said, he's dead. Now that's position. Now, with anything in God, you're going to approach it by faith or works. Faith or works. Say faith or works. You approach it by works, you're going to have a hard time with it. You approach it by effort, you're going to have a hard time with it. So here's what we do. We know we got to move by faith into these realms with God. Move by faith and everything else. But when it comes to this old man, we don't know what to do with him. We struggle with him. Discipline. Listen, he's got capacities that don't look like Jesus. Have you realized that? He can sit in church and do the hallelujah and do the charismatic jig. He can do all that and walk right out that door. You understand? Because he's got a capacity. The Lord knows that. So what the Lord, what the enemy does is he fuels that capacity, then he condemns you. Fuels and condemns. Fuels and condemns. You live this constant state of struggle. You don't have to if you understand the administration of the high priest. He is there, listen to this, to positionally crucify the old man. And he does it in stages, but he did it in the beginning completely. That's why he said the body is the Lord's. The body, you're a purchased possession. Even though you don't look like him in the old, he purchased it so he has authority to bury it. But here's the key. You want the key? He already buried it. Here's the key. He already buried the old man. So when you come to him, all he's doing is executing burial rites. Amen? That's why he can come in with a winnowing fork and start separating and start executing burial rites. Now, when the Lord does this, when you get in position with him and you're getting prepared for graduation, he'll remove a ceiling off your life. He'll remove a ceiling. And the other day, I'm just going to share this one. He'll clean the house. Amen. When he cleans it, it's clean. When you clean it, you're going to have to go clean it again. Because your cleaning is only discipline. Discipline is never, write this down, discipline is not death. Discipline is not death. Discipline covers the problem. Discipline is good. Don't let it run out there. But discipline's only covering the nature. The Lord doesn't cover. He, like Sharon in her eloquence, kills it. Kill it. Kill it. Say kill it. But I want you to know how he does this. So when I was just doing my thing the other day and it was this agitation, I was just trying to move in and all of a sudden all this agitation turned to internal anxiety. I'm like, where is all this coming from? And I could not get out of it. And I hadn't been in anything like this in months, probably 4 or 5 months. It was just, what is all, it was all inside. I said, where is all this coming from? And you understand anxiety is a fruit of fear. When you get down to the basement of the old man, like Otto says, the basement, when you start dealing with basement issues, you're always going to find fear in the basement. Fear has multiple operations that it builds. It can build a whole tree. Rejection, control, insecurity, worthlessness, unworthiness. All of that, facades built off of fear. Fear very rarely truly manifests itself. It always manifests in something else. Now, sometimes it's a spirit, and sometimes it's the residue of what that spirit has built over a lifetime, or a tree, system of thought, empowered by emotions, exalting itself. But what it does, trauma,
will lock fear down in your soul. Your soul has this incredible capacity to layer life. It can segregate, layer, and compartmentalize life. It can compartmentalize pain. Take a really seasoned, incredible pain, it'll compartmentalize it and live above it. If you get too much of it, it'll start splitting personality out, see, to deal with it. You get personality, then you get spirits, and then you get all kinds of stuff. So you get born again, your spirit gets seated with God in heavenly places, and you're trying to run to God. I mean, you got all this stuff down there. You got basement issues. Sometimes you can be in ministry for years and have basement issues. Because God's anointing that new man. But when that anointing lives, you're dealing with the old man. People don't understand that. How can that anointing be so powerful on you? And then you do all that. Because I've got an old man like you do. Amen. So what the Lord does in the ministration of the high priest, so what we do when we deal with all that, we're just trying to walk through it and just, you know, survive it. This stuff. Living for another day, but the Lord will go down in there with his two-edged sword. And he did that. I'm like, what is this? And he opened something in me. I mean, after all these years. But sometimes as you're a little child, it gets locked up in there, see. There's things there you don't know. And God's going to work with you and deal with you. He's going to anoint you and you move on. And sometimes we're professionals at covering. And God's not going to open everything up at one time. He's not going to do that. But he opened that thing and all of his fear was down there. I'm like, where did this come from? He took me down, way down in there. I'm like, I thought we dealt with this. You don't know. When he opened, I'm telling you, I'm just going to be honest with you here. There were two major spirits that came out of that room. I don't know how they lived down in there, but they get locked up in there, and they were awful. I'm like, they don't dwell in your spirit. They can't. They have no access to the heavenly realm in you. They don't dwell there, but they get locked up in those basement operations of the untransportable. When he opened that up, I'm just telling you, it happened. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't care if people think it happened. And it was two of them. The first one wasn't near as bad as the second one. These were fear. And sometimes it's not just a spirit. Sometimes it's just a stronghold. But the Lord went in there. He went down there and he cut the thing out. And then the finger of God, when the Holy Ghost comes down there, when he opens it with his two-edged sword, see, he separates it because he's ready for all that out. I'm like, why didn't you do this before? He goes, you weren't ready. He goes, because love, because this stuff gets removed and you're not ready, they'll come back. And so what happens? Love was coming to the level that they can't stay anymore, see. Love was coming to the level that God can see. God's not going to open up everything. Don't go looking for it with a flashlight. Oh, Lord, don't do that. We're not going to line you up with paper towels on the front row here and call out your spirits. Come on. That is not what you do. You don't go dwelling around your old man and see what kind of flashlight we can do. You look to the Lord. Your eyes are upon him. Your eyes are on the glory. Don't become demonically conscious either. It'll mess you up big. You got to see the glory. Have your eyes on the glory, but when the Lord's in operation mode, he's going to take you down in there. It's going to happen. It's a good thing. Say good thing. Because those things build other things. And you're dealing with the fruits of things that build, foundational things that are building fruits. They keep you isolated. There's a lot of different fruits fear will build. And when he opened that realm, all of that stuff came out. I mean, it was just, it's like it's locked down and it's all compressed like a trash compactor. It's trash compacted. And it lives down in there and it's covered over. I don't know if I like this. You do. You like when he cleans the house and when he removes, see, what it does, it affects your actions and reactions and behavior patterns. Stronghold, system of thoughts empowered by emotions that's creating actions, reactions, and behavior patterns that are exalting themselves against the knowledge, character, nature of Christ. I say action, reaction, behavior. So you're reacting, and you've got certain behavior patterns. Fear was manifesting strong and control. Fear never wants to be discovered, by the way. Fear likes to hide. What's the first thing that happened with the fall? Fear. What's the second thing? Hide. We hid ourselves. Why? We were afraid. Fear is a foundational basement issue. But normally, yeah, there's certain phobias that are manifested. But fear will build personality traits and actions and reactions. And what it does, it keeps the fullness of God. Because there's an operation. And God says, perfect love. Say, perfect love. Cast out all fear. Sometimes fear is a spirit. Sometimes it's behavioral strongholds that a spirit had built at one time. Amen? So, when he went down in there, and he... when the Holy Ghost goes up in there, it's not fun. Fun's afterwards. All that emotion come out with it. I'm like, really? We're still doing deliverance here? I mean, after all these years, really? This is a good thing. Amen. Because what happened afterwards? The love of the Father went down in there. This is what he means, rooting ground in love. When he pulled all that stuff out, love went, started pouring down into areas that were not owned by the Lord. He had purchased it, but he didn't own it yet. How many areas in our life has he purchased, but he doesn't own it? Amen. Now he said, I own this. This area is mine now. You know what it's called? Love. Rooted and grounded in what? Is this heavy? I should have done this on Wednesday night, right? This is heavy. Rooted and grounded in what? Love. Love poured down into those root systems. Amen. It elevates you in the Father when this happens. It elevates you in the glory. It elevates you because these are deep works of your high priest and it's going to happen. Understand when he initiates the power of that two-edged sword, it is for your good. That stuff can keep going and going and going because it hides. Amen. There's one thing the enemy cannot hide from, the light. You dwell in the light long enough, and the light, the Lord, is going to start initiating the two-edged sword. Isn't that glorious? Let's give him glory. Hallelujah. What he's doing, he's going after the problem that you can't see, because a lot of times you're looking at the fruits of these things, not the basement stuff. Don't go initiating, because listen, when he initiates, it's spontaneous. You can't make him initiate. Now, I present every day, and I'm exchanging every day, the putting off the old man, putting on the new. But this operation of two-edged sword, it comes. It's seasonal, but man, when it happens, he'll carve a lifetime of the enemy's bondage out of you. He'll carve a whole stronghold out of you in one session. Everyone say, man, he'll cut it out. Circumcision with a finely skilled knife, he'll cut away in the flesh. Amen. The winnowing forth, he separates that chaff. And he burns the chaff with unquenchable fire. And he leaves you in the glory. Amen. Why is this so good? Why is it so necessary? Because everything about our life that's built on wood, hay, and stubble will not survive the refiner's fire. But everything is built upon the foundation of Christ. They'll build. Because once God does something, that he starts building off that new foundation. And that new foundation will survive anything because it's been processed and refined in the kingdom of God. Amen! You got to go through the process. Now, you can go through a wilderness process or you can do all this in the Lord. If you'll let the Lord do this, he can scale the time down. Because what taking 40 years, he can do in 4. He can do in 4 months. He can do in 4 days. A lot of times, if you get where his power is. Amen? So 2 Corinthians says the weapons, say weapons. This is the weaponry of our warfare. Are not, say not, carnal. Stop trying to deal with your old man. You can't take carnal things to deal with carnality. That's like trying to take mammon to take mammon down. It's never going to work. You have to have the heavenly weaponry. And our high priest holds a very powerful two-edged sword. He holds a winnowing fork. He knows how to do this. Our job is to stay close to him all the time, dwell in him, and he'll start the process. Because some of us need some things cut out. Amen? There's certain things. We have an awesome ministry of Sozo that'll cut things out. And they're very skilled with this. And then there's levels the high priest goes to. Amen? Because these levels mean graduation. They mean graduation of your wilderness. Amen? It means he graduates you. Weapons are warfare, not carnal, but mighty. Say mighty through God. The pulling down of the stronghold. He'll pull the whole thing down. The Lord now knows how to pull the tree down. Cut it down. He cuts it out. He's a surgeon. He can go in there with no blood. Sometimes when the enemy comes, there's going to be blood. Now, God can use your trials. He can use anything. He can use your enemies. But boy, when the enemies are being used, there's blood on the floor. There's blood everywhere. I mean, there was a day I couldn't learn any other way. When you're getting to the level that your enemies have to teach you everything, you're not in the right place. Because there's no other option on the table here. When you get to the place where you let the Lord do this, he is a finely skilled surgeon. He'll go in there, cut it out. You'll have a temporary issue with all that ugliness. God, those things are ugly. They're nasty. And he'll cut all that out. Now, not that you're not always just cutting the spirit out. Sometimes he's just cutting away operations of the flesh. But sometimes spirits get trapped in there. You got to know that. They're empowered. They're trapped in that thing, and you get it unlocked. Amen. When you get unlocked, the glory fills that place. The love, the joy, the rest, the wholeness. He makes you whole. Why does he do this? Preparing you for graduation. He's ready to graduate you. Listen, I'm closing with this. This is my second close. If your graduation comes without transformation, it's going to be temporary. It's not a true graduation. I'm going to say that again. If you graduate into something without transformation, it'll only be temporary. When you graduate through transformation, it's permanent. If you want to know when graduation, when the Lord starts stuff like this, you might as well just hang a sign on, I'm graduating. Put the graduating hat, put the gown on, because I'm coming out. Because he is removing the very things that have locked you down in the first place. Amen? Because he is elevating you into the Father and elevating you into himself and elevating you into heaven's values and heaven's operations. And when you start valuing what heaven values, God's going to start blessing you in ways that you have never seen before. Amen? Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.